Welcome to episode 3 of Inside the Wave. Today, I am joined by one of my awesome students, probably one of the hardest working people I know. He literally climbed out of a tree to be here with us today, Tanner Brooks. And it's not because he's Tarzan, it's because he actually owns a tree cutting service, right? So Tanner, tell me about yourself. How long have you been with Utopia? How did you find your way into jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, so I think I've been training with you for somewhere around 3 years. I'm not exactly sure, but how it actually started was...
Because time flies.
Yeah, time does fly. But how it started was, I think I was on Facebook and I saw coming for a 2-week free trial, jiu-jitsu. And I'm like, oh, what's that?
I was flexing my marketing arm.
Yeah, you're flexing your marketing arm pretty hard. It kept on coming up. I don't know what it was, if it was a demographic thing.
Yeah, probably.
Or whatever, you know, age. And then, I mean, obviously I heard about jiu-jitsu a few times. And I've heard like Joe Rogan talk about it a few times and stuff like that. So then I was like, well, I'll check it out because I used to work out, right? But stopped working out, and that was my...
Why'd you stop working out?
I'm not sure. So, you know, I was pretty active like in high school, and then I had a break, and then I got really into it for a few years. And then I think it was just work. I think it was just like...
It's caught up in life.
Yeah, caught up in life, working.
Lost as a priority.
Yeah, gained 20 pounds.
Yeah, well, and your work, you know, I alluded to you that you climbed out of a tree. I don't think I actually said you own a tree removal company. Your work is physically demanding.
Yes.
There can be a lot of hours to it, especially during like tree season.
Yeah.
Right. So it's probably really easy to fall out of routine.
Very easy. Especially coming home. Like, I mean, it's dark. Like the last thing you want to do is, what you want to do is take a shower and eat food and go to bed.
I still want you to take a shower before you train.
Right. And I do. That's good. So like literally I take a shower
twice a night, take a shower again.
Yep. And so that's what I do. But back to it. I mean, I saw that, right? And I wanted to, get into something, and I figured I'll give it a try. So I went there, and I think this was the Fuji days.
Okay.
So this is Fuji.
Fuji's also teaching at the academy a lot.
Yeah. And then what he did is, he actually sent me a video, and I thought it was, I was basically nervous to come in, right? So he sent me a video. He's like, hi, Tanner, you know.
Oh, yeah, the personalized video.
Yeah, the personalized video. And I didn't expect that at all, you know. And he's like, hey, you know, blah, 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 come in. Just make sure you bring shorts and t-shirts. So I just have basketball shorts, right?
Yeah.
And I think I came in a gi night.
How old were you when you started?
Man, I guess, you know.
How old are you now, minus...
I guess I'm 29, but I just turned 29 in February. Okay. End of February.
Yeah.
So I had to have been at least like 25.
Yeah.
That would have to be my guess. So, I mean, I was still young and I still had good movement in my joints.
But you definitely had a gap between like school and training.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You didn't roll straight from like college or high school to be like, here's my new thing.
No.
So during that break between then, you started your own business, you were lifting. And then what did you hear on Joe Rogan or whoever you're listening to about jiu-jitsu that's like, maybe I should try it out?
I think what it was is basically my main pull at first was I knew that it was some sort of grappling and MMA-ish.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't know what it really entailed, but I knew it was going to be a good workout.
Okay.
And I wasn't going to join a yoga class.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like 25. Am I going to be the only guy in a yoga class? Yeah. I don't think so.
No, but if you're looking to meet girls, it's probably a great spot to
go. Right, right. I guess. You could be pretty creepy too.
That definitely.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to do that. So I remember just going in my first night, and I was terrified when I finally got there. And then I think, you know, I just got paired up with somebody, and I was just in shorts and a regular t-shirt. And everybody's dressed up.
It's got their gi on.
I'm the only one in shorts and a regular.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, shit, you know? And then
What were you nervous about? I mean, new people. Yeah, you should be nervous because most people are nervous when they come in. Almost actually everyone.
I think
I was nervous my first night.
I didn't know what to expect. And I think doing like a brand new thing, I also didn't know I was going to physically go head to head with another human right away. I didn't know that at all.
Did you research jiu-jitsu before you came in? Like, did you go like watch videos or anything like that?
No. Yeah. I didn't have a good idea of that. But I knew it was wrestling. I knew the basics. I knew we were going to be choke and tap. Like, I knew like UFC stuff.
Okay.
Right. So I had an idea. Armbar.
Yeah.
Rear naked choke.
I knew. Yeah. 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 Okay.
That's it.
You knew it on TV.
Yeah. I knew it on TV. I'm perfect. Yeah. I want to armbar somebody.
Okay. Sweet. And how was that first class?
The first class, like I said, it was just terrifying. I remember the very first person that I went with was brown belt. He started a school. I just
Joe?
No.
Tim?
No, he started a school.
Dan, Jimmy.
Jimmy. Cool. He was my very first role.
Yeah.
And
talk about an intimidating guy, like net tattoos everywhere, but like the nicest guy in the world.
The super nicest guy, and I think it was
he's scary as shit.
He's scary.
Yeah.
So what I did was he was an open guard. I remember it to this day, and I'm flailing around like crazy, right?
As new people do.
Right. I'm like trying to get past this guy. Just told, hey, just get past him.
And I'll say, like, the one thing that has made you super successful, outside of you just being a hardworking individual, is you do not give up.
Oh no.
Like you just go. And it's not like you go like to try to kill me, but like you try to win. Yeah. And you're not a pushover in any way whatsoever. Right. Usually a new person, like I can just like push them over. You're like a bouncy ball. Like if I throw you at the ground, you just spring back up right away.
Bounce back up, yeah.
Right? All right. Yeah. So you're going with Jimmy, you're flailing around like as new people do.
I hit somebody, my foot literally hit somebody in the head.
Okay.
And that person looked at Jimmy and said, "You should be controlling him better." And then I got controlled better.
Yeah.
I mean, I might have got like, and Jimmy's such a sweetheart, right? So he told me to go with somebody next. And I got my first Neon Valley experience, right? Really getting
done to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, somebody sticking their knee.
So Jimmy lets you play on top a little bit. And then the roles reversed the next one. It's like, hey, now you're on bottom.
Yeah, he sent me to somebody else. Basically, you know, this is a new guy.
Yeah.
Control him.
And it's funny, like new people.
It's humbling.
Yeah, new people can always play a little bit on top, right? Because like you just know that you want to keep the other guy down. You have gravity on your side, but you put that new person on bottom, they're lost.
Yeah, it's bad,
right? Because you don't know how to escape.
Yeah,
outside of maybe trying to like bench someone off, and that's gonna be super hard.
Right, it's terrible. Right? You're tired,
and you know a few things like we hand off the new people, right? Because we want to put someone who's not experienced, and you know, you're in the experienced batch now. Like I will put any new person with you because I know that even though you could be the most dangerous person they roll with, you're actually the safest person for them to roll with, because you can tie them up so they can't hurt themselves or you or flail and accidentally kick another training partner.
Exactly.
Right. So like we just do it for safety, and it's to new people, it's like, oh my God, I have to go with the best person in the gym. I have to go with one of the brown belts, the black belts. It's scary, but it's actually the safest.
Yeah, you're actually more safe.
Yeah.
You're in better hands.
And from my standpoint, the new people are sometimes the hardest people to roll with because it's scary. Because you've been doing jiu-jitsu for a while now. Like if I roll with you, like you're semi-predictable. Like, because I know that you're going to do jiu-jitsu against me. And I know in general what your repertoire of techniques are and what your strategy is because you do jiu-jitsu.
Right.
A new person is random. It's a roll of the dice at what they're going to do, but it's like an 80-sided dice. Like at any point in time, they could just do a front flip on your face.
Yeah.
Like you just don't know.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
They could get hurt. They could hurt you.
So how were you feeling after your first class?
I was so sweaty.
Yeah.
Like as soon as my face would go down.
Did you have to rest at all?
There was
just like
no, I think I kind of went through it because like I just don't have that
off button.
Yeah, I don't have that off button. I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
You know? So I was just obviously, the people that were rolling with me are probably taking care of me and didn't push me just as far as I needed to go. But I just remember being so tired, so sore, so sweaty. Yeah. I had regular cotton clothes on. Oh, yeah. It was just
drenched. You're like, wring it out.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So one other memorable thing is like I guess I just had like a sense of clarity after. Like I remember going into the locker room and I just kind of like sat there a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind was just clear.
Yeah.
I was clear. I wasn't anxious about the day. I wasn't worried about business. I wasn't worried about family or anything outside of that. My mind was clear. Yeah. I was just like, and so right after that, boom, right? Hey, yeah. This is our program. This is what we got. Yeah, I signed up right away.
Awesome.
I mean, I think I might have even like prepaid like 6 months.
Dude, it's so funny because people a lot of times think like, you need to be a master at meditation. You need to meditate for months to get a clear mind and find a way to meditate and get a clear mind. And I get that when I do jiu-jitsu. But you even got that when you're doing jiu-jitsu, but you weren't even really doing jiu-jitsu. Everyone else was doing the jiu-jitsu to you.
Yeah.
Right? And you still were able to finish class and be like, okay.
Yeah.
It's quiet.
Yeah. I think for me, it's maybe like being high strung and my mind is always racing. Like it's even something that I learn about myself, like being able to go to sleep at night.
Yeah.
And shutting my mind off. Mm-hmm. I have a few like techniques and things that I'll do if I need to. Sometimes it'll just happen.
Yeah.
And most of the time it'll just happen right if I go to jiu-jitsu that day. So so I kind of use it as a tool in that way. But I think it's just something that I needed that physical exhaustion.
Yeah.
Like my body needs.
And probably mental exhaustion. Right?
Because
you're like trying to, like, how do I survive? How do I win? How do I survive?
Yeah.
Right? And your mind's going to tell your body what to do. Like, oh, this guy's trying to kill me.
Yeah.
How can I stop that?
How do I stop that? Right?
Or and slow it down. Humbling.
Talk about another thing that I realized very quickly was, boy, you might have an idea in your head of what you're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, if this happens, like maybe I'll do this or whatever. Yeah. You know, like I was a little bit scrappy, like high school fights type of stuff, a little scrappy, decent. But as soon as you step in there and as soon as that first person grabs a hold of you, it's all out the window. You're like, oh my gosh, like this is real.
Yeah.
And you don't know it's real until you physically go and do it. Mm-hmm. You can imagine. You can look at the people like on UFC, like, why doesn't he just get up?
Yeah.
Like, let him get your arm.
Easier said than done.
You let him get your arm? How'd you get choked out there? Yeah. Like their favorite person? Yeah. They're all like, what? You know, like, yeah. Go to a class. Try it out. Show up.
Yeah, but to me, that's like, it never goes away.
No, like, I get manhandled all the time.
You know, I think it was last year I got the opportunity to roll with Rafael Lovato Jr.
Oh,
you know, UFC fighter, Bellator fighter, multi-time, like one of the best American black belts in jiu-jitsu. Yeah. And I did a private lesson with him. I rolled with him. The only jiu-jitsu I did to that guy was the jiu-jitsu he let me do.
Yeah.
So like he did all the stuff and I've been doing jiu-jitsu for like 16 years. And I was like, I can't do anything to you. You're just a monster. Like you will always get humbled in sport unless you're like you're Gordon Ryan and you're like literally
the top,
the apex predator on the food chain. Like there's so many different levels to jiu-jitsu and that's what I find beautiful.
Yeah, I mean it doesn't matter. There's always going to be that guy that's going to show you something or give you that humbling experience.
And it might even be a new person.
Yeah.
Oh right? Yeah. Like, I learned like you move your jiu-jitsu movement is beautiful in a way that like to me sometimes it feels like scrambly and random.
Yeah.
Like you'll go for risks that most people won't take.
Yeah.
And I will learn stuff from your movement when I'm bowling with you. And I've been training for like 15 years longer.
Yeah.
But I'll still learn stuff from newer people.
And you'll learn if you're watching.
100%.
If you're willing to learn.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too is like jiu-jitsu is another thing that gives you an idea that, hey, you know, be willing to learn, be willing to be taught, you know, don't give up on, you know, don't think that you know it all.
Yeah.
You know, and
you'll never know it all.
Oh, yeah. Well, as soon as you think you do, then that's when you stop learning.
Yeah.
You know, it's like go find those teachers in life.
Yeah.
You know, have mentors in life. And a mentor will probably take you so far.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's time for a new mentor.
Yeah.
And you know, and like in jiu-jitsu specifically, because I mean this is a podcast, you know, it's like when I first started out, it's like I look at you, I look at Dan.
Mm-hmm.
I look at Fuji, and it's all different. Like a lot of that movement that I'm talking about.
Yeah,
that's a lot of Dan in there.
Yeah,
to be honest with
you. Yeah, like his style of training.
Right.
Yeah,
and
everyone's execution of the art is different.
Yeah.
Right. Like I could teach you a rear naked choke, right? And everyone's going to do it a little bit differently.
That's true. Actually,
and you know, even though we're talking about like depth in the sport, like a lot of people think like, oh, you're building up new techniques. I will learn the smallest modification to a technique I've been doing for a decade that will completely change the game on it for me.
Yeah.
Where it's like, hey, put your hand an inch higher for this reason. And you're like, the first time someone gives you feedback like that, you're like, what the hell's that going to do?
Yeah.
But then it works and you're like, why did that happen? Why did that work? Right. So it's not like depth in having more tools, but it's sharpening those tools and learning different variations on how to use those.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Now, you were talking about learning a lot through watching jiu-jitsu, and you came to class the other night, and you're way better at me than at it, because if I have a gi and I'm on the mat, like I'll end up training and doing something stupid, even though if I'm injured. And you put a gi on, you're in class, and you're like, hey, Perry, I'm not training tonight. I'm just watching.
Yeah.
Because you're a little injured.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. That's not something most people do. Most people, when they have an injury, they're either, most often, they're just not going to come to the gym.
Yeah.
Or B, they'll come and they'll just sit on the sidelines, which is even more super rare. I would say like 98% just don't come. 2% will come but stay on the sidelines. And the 0.1%, you in this scenario, puts your gi on is like, hey, I'm just watching today and helping out.
Yeah.
How do you get to that?
Well,
that's not something, especially with younger guys. Like older guys, we're old. We know we get hurt. Like that happens. And, you know, we know to take time off. But usually younger guys are like, I'm injured, rub dirt on it. You know, I'm just going to power through.
Yeah.
Right? Why is your perspective different?
I think my perspective has been a bit like, it's been progressive. So I've been injured before. And I've went through it, and I think the reason why I went through it is like when you first start like tapping people, it's fun and all this stuff. And like my idea of jiu-jitsu has changed to I want to do it for a long time. Mm-hmm. I want to be like you.
Yeah.
I want to be like Paul. I want to be like Dan, right? I want to do it for a long time because it is such an important thing to me. I think mentally, even spiritually in some aspects, I think it is that important. So like I'm willing, I had to look at myself. And I was training for a little bit, injured, like my back. Like, so the injury is, you know, my back. It's important.
Yeah.
And it could possibly get bad. And so.
And you need that for work.
Oh, yeah. I need it for work too. Like, yeah, today, that
most
was
people are like, most people are like, you know, I need it for life because I teach jiu-jitsu, but like, I don't need it to work at a computer all day.
Yeah.
Right. But like, you literally just climbed out of the tree to be here.
Yeah. And my point is I'm willing to sacrifice my desires or my appetites now and let the different part of my soul reason take over a little bit and tell me to calm down and just show up, because I actually enjoy seeing the people. I mean, I've been knowing these people for years now.
Yeah, ends
up being like, every single day. Yeah. It's like family. So like I want to come and I want to say hi. I want to say hi to you. I want to say hi, you know, to other people in the gym and be a part of the community as well. And boy, it is hard not to.
Yeah.
It's hard not to roll, especially like.
And you know, every time someone asks you like, hey, you want to roll? And you're like, oh, no, not tonight.
It's hard. And then they're like, are you okay?
Are you
okay? It's like, yeah, I'm okay. I just, you know, I'm just going to sit out tonight.
Yeah.
Just it's like a little bit.
Hey, like take 1 week off now to get your injury better. Yeah. Because if it gets worse, you're going to have to take 10 weeks off.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like the short sacrifice for the greater victory.
Right.
And I think that's a great life lesson that a lot of times it takes people a major injury for that to happen, yeah, or a lot of injuries for that to happen. Yeah. So it's a really smart training approach.
Yeah.
You said that jiu-jitsu does a lot for your life spiritually. What do you mean by that?
This is like a little bit in the wheat. I feel that there's three parts of our soul.
Yeah.
So
get woo-woo-y on me.
I know.
I like it. Let's hear it.
Okay. So you have reason.
Okay.
Right. You have courage, and you have your appetites.
Yeah.
And reason, like the Greeks would say, like, you know, reason is here. Mm-hmm. Courage is cur of the heart. Mm-hmm. And then your appetites, you know, like your stomach.
Yeah.
And when I brought that up is what I would say just for this example, mm-hmm, is like going to roll and being hurt would be me feeding my appetites. Mm. Right.
Yeah.
The lowest form of good, yeah, for myself and my soul. And when I am being virtuous or just, and when I am, you know, I have to listen to my reason and say, hey, no, maybe you should take some time. Maybe you should go experience, like it was deliberate. Go there.
Yeah.
Go in your gi. Go say hi to everybody. Yeah. Go experience it. And do not let yourself, I failed so many times of going there and trying to do that same thing. And I said, do not let yourself do it.
You get suckered in.
Right. So, yeah. So I feel that, like when I say, you know, spiritually, you know, I think that, you know, just on that small example, but I think that when there's a place where a bunch of people are coming together for a common goal,
mm-hmm,
right? And honestly, it's to be better, you know? It's not so much like people are coming there to want to be able to go hurt other people. Yeah. It's so much not about that. It's just, which is so crazy. You know, at first I think that changes, but it's like e pluribus unum,
yeah,
right? Out of many, one.
Yeah.
Like the great, you know, on the great seal is like, you have a tree cutter.
Yeah.
You have the gym owner. You have a lawyer,
yeah,
right? Out of many, one, just like in the United States, like you have all these people coming together. Nobody's talking politics.
For sure.
We're all here for a common goal, a common purpose.
And I think a lot of times, you know, even if you are talking politics, it's a lot of like accepting of everyone else's views.
It's more open
in that room.
Right? Yeah.
It's like, it's not a battle. Like we all have our own perspectives on, and I think it shows up in techniques. Like you have your way how to do a sweep. Like, mm-hmm, neither of us are right. Like I could have my political views. You could have your political views. It doesn't mean that we're right. It's our interpretation of things.
Yeah.
And it's our viewpoint on things. And like, there's a lot of space in the middle for, and on the outsides for everyone else to sit.
Yeah.
And I think jiu-jitsu teaches us that.
It teaches us that, and it gives us a place to come to where we can experience the ability for multiple people in society to come together and have those conversations. And God is present in that.
Yeah.
Because of that, you know, like, I feel that there, and I think like that's where jiu-jitsu has changed a lot for me. Is like, that's where I'll come. Yeah. I'll come with my gi and not roll. I will drive 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Spend an hour and another 20. I will give 2 hours of my day.
Yeah.
To experience that.
Yeah.
It's important.
And 2 hours of your day to not even train and get your workout in.
Nothing.
But you get everything else out of it, right?
Yeah.
Because we don't, we don't all do jiu-jitsu just for the act of doing jiu-jitsu. We do it for being with our community, being with our people. It's like, I tell people, I kill so many birds with one stone when I go to jiu-jitsu class. I get to spend time with my friends. I'm, of course, running my business. Mm-hmm. I get to help other people. I get my workout in, right? It's so many other things. And if it's like, hey, if I'm injured and I still go to the gym and I get, instead of five things out of it, I get four, that's still a lot of benefit for me to do it versus me just like watching Netflix.
Right.
Right. And there's no problem with taking a day off. I'm not saying like, hey, you should go to the gym every day and you need to do this. Like, take a day off every once in a while, but be deliberate about it.
Yeah.
Right. And especially if you're trying to build a routine, like, and you're, maybe you're a 2 day a week person, Tuesdays and Thursdays, like make it a habit 2 days a week. Cause you know, as well as I do, like once you break a habit, it's hard to get back into it.
Yeah.
It's hard to restart it. Yeah. Just like you, when you said, hey, I was working out for a while. I kind of fell out of my habit with my business and it's hard to get back into it.
Yeah.
Cool. What's the biggest change you've seen in your training, right? So you started, you've been training for about 3 years. You have some pancreation fights under your belt. You have some jujitsu tournaments under your belt.
Yeah.
You're relatively newer blue belt, but not that much newer of one. You've had it for a while. What's the biggest shift you've seen in your training that has helped you from like the day you walked in until today?
My biggest shift is like, I think it's mentally, I'm willing to go there and put my butt on the mat for that other new person, you know? And I was just talking about this before, honestly, we're talking about Caleb.
Yeah.
And when he said to me, and I was struggling, he said, hey man, I got you.
Got you.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Just breathe. Right? That feeling. I said that same thing to another new person.
Yeah.
Right? With intention.
Yeah.
Because it was a core memory, or it meant something to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. So like my training has changed to like, you know, when you first get that first tap, like you want to go get more.
Yeah.
I want to just arm bar the shit out of someone.
Yeah, because you get that first taste like victory.
Yeah. Oh wow. And then you choke somebody out and stuff. So my point is that I'm willing to go and get myself in a bad situation. I'm willing to get choked out by a white belt. I'm willing to let him take my back.
Yeah.
Feel where his choke is. It's not always that every training or every role, it's about me winning or just being on top or showing that I am dominant. Now, there are times when I have to switch myself out of being passive
and do jujitsu for yourself.
And really do some jujitsu. That happens sometimes, you know? But I think that's probably the biggest shift is like, no, I'm willing to let somebody work on something.
Yeah.
I'm willing to...
Because you get to work on whatever you're working on.
Like,
hey, white belt, you can work on getting my back and choking me. That gives me the opportunity to work
get out
defenses against you.
Yeah.
Right? You can always work on something.
Yeah.
And, you know, I say this all the time, but if I help you with your goals, it inherently helps me with my own goals.
Yeah.
It's all about helping each other. Right.
Yeah.
If I just focus on me, I'm only going to get half the benefit.
Yeah.
But if I focus on helping you, then I'm going to get double.
Yeah.
Times that by the 30 people we have in class that night.
Right.
Or the 10 people I roll with.
Yeah.
Have you ran into a plateau in your training yet? Have you felt like, man, I hit a wall?
Like, what do you mean by plateau? Is interest like, or the ability to
either
physically get a submission?
Yeah, either. Like, either plateauing as in, I never thought about plateauing in interest, or plateauing like, hey, you feel like you're just not getting better at jiu-jitsu. Have you ran into that?
Honestly... So I guess I haven't thought about it till right now.
Yeah.
So let me think through that. So interest wise, no. I haven't plateaued. Jiu-jitsu wise, let me just ask this. What have I learned that's brand new lately? Or what am I working on? So I've been trying to do a lot more armbar stuff.
Yeah.
And you have an interesting thing that you showed me a while ago and that I see you naturally go to a lot. It's an armbar series from having someone's back and actually flipping your arm around their head.
Yeah.
So I've been a little bit interested in that, but I don't think I've gotten any better at it, to be honest. So I don't have any really cool new jiu-jitsu-y things that I'm working out either, like reverse De La Riva or X-Guard things. So in that way, maybe I have like plateaued a little bit.
Do you still feel like you're improving?
Yeah, I do feel like I'm improving.
Awesome.
Don't think about it.
Yeah.
I don't care about like the stripes or the belt.
I know. And I think
winning.
I think that's why you probably haven't hit a plateau is because you just keep jiu-jitsu fun. You know, you move a lot. So you're always opening up new opportunities. you love learning, so you're always looking for something new, like a new toy to play with.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people that run into plateaus, they run into it because that they keep playing with the same toy too much. And,
yeah.
And that toy gets boring.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right. And then they don't find something new and fun to play with.
That's a good point.
And you don't want to like just jump to new stuff and forget about the old stuff.
Yeah.
But like you need to keep introducing fun into your game. And I think you've done amazing at that.
Yeah.
Like there's always smiles on your faces and you're always like cracking jokes while rolling and stuff like that.
And I'll switch my game. I'll switch my thing that I'm working on halfway through training.
Yeah.
I'll start going to rear naked chokes now.
Yep.
Okay. I'm only doing arm bars with this person.
Yeah.
I'm only doing Kimuras with this person. Mm-hmm. Now, and a lot of times I'll just grab it and let it go.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'll just like get there, grab it. If like a Kimura, make sure I could have scooted my butt out and let it go.
Yeah.
Like I don't need to.
Who needs that 30 seconds of reset anyways?
Yeah.
Right. Like take the submission, go until you might be able to tap them. And move on with it.
Yeah.
Now, you don't want to do that all of the time. Because then you never practice the actual finish.
I've done that.
Right? Because then you'll get into a tournament, you'll get a Kimura, and then you just let it go for no reason. And you're like, why'd you do that?
Right. Right.
Awesome. How about some rapid fire questions for you?
Yeah, sure.
Sweet. First one. You ready?
Yeah.
This is challenging.
Okay. Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Gi or no gi?
No
gi. Right now. No gi?
Yeah.
Still?
100%.
Okay. Why?
Because I feel that a lot of times when I'm rolling with people, the gi gets slowed down a lot.
Yeah.
And people get too focused on grips and it takes the fun out. They're just so worried. Don't let them pass.
Yeah.
I
like it.
It seems like it stops jiu-jitsu.
We touched on it earlier, but what are you currently working on in your jiu-jitsu game?
I would say arm bar.
Sweet.
Arm bar from different spots. Cool.
It could be the arm bar, but what is your favorite submission? Like you'll just go to your favorite one to hit.
Kimura.
Kimura?
Yeah.
Sweet. From any certain spot or just everywhere?
Honestly.
Kimura's like, an interesting one because you get it from so many different places.
I always grab and threaten from half guard. And then I usually get the sweep.
Bottom half guard?
Yeah, bottom half guard.
I am terrible at that.
I usually get the sweep from there. So I'll try to elevate them too and sweep. And then I'll keep it and do it from the top.
Awesome. Top person you would love to train with given the opportunity, dead or alive or in the future or whatever it might be.
That I would love to train with?
Yeah.
I would say I've never thought about that. I don't really have, I don't idolize that much. I would say
any UFC fighter?
Maybe Gracie. Maybe one of the Gracies.
One of the Gracies?
Yeah.
Cool. Fun side fact. I went to a seminar with Hickson Gracie.
Hickson, yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like,
they're the pioneers.
Yeah, he is. He's like,
pay homage.
He made jiu-jitsu huge. And I was his uke for a technique. So
really?
He taught a technique on me. And dude, that guy, like, feels like a brick.
When did you do
it? It was probably like a decade ago in Chicago. I went to a seminar with him. It was a really cool opportunity.
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think he does seminars anymore unless you go to like, I don't know, some huge one. Like maybe he does one a year, maybe one every other year.
Right. But
yeah. Best advice for beginners. People just getting started.
Oh man. Just come, just show up.
Okay.
Relax and breathe. Don't go with other white belts. Mm. Don't do it.
And as we said, all easier said than done.
Yeah, it's all easier said than done.
One word to describe your jiu-jitsu style. This should be one of those ones where like we write on a sheet of paper and we show everyone at the same time and see what it says.
And see,
like
I'll
guess what your style is.
So I would say spazzy. I would say more bouncy, flowy. Like
I was gonna say flippy.
Flippy. I would say flippy.
Yeah, you are bouncy. That's
I would say. I would say Dan is
you're,
awful.
You're
flippy.
Like you're like holding on to something I can't like grasp.
Yeah,
I don't know what they are, but they're those we used to have them at kids. You win them at the carnival, but it was like a tube filled with water that rolls in on itself when you grab it. It slips out of your hand every time. That's what I feel like.
It's like I'm here, then I'm over here, then I'm over there, and I'm cartwheeling over you.
You can like teleport. The toughest aspect of BJJ to master. And this is interesting because I'm asking a blue belt this.
But you
learned a lot in 3 years. Like, what's the hardest thing for you to like master so far?
My most important thing is I just want to do it for a long time.
Yeah.
So just take care of your body, self-control. Don't get injured. Don't keep on training over the injuries. It's just controlling my appetites in that way.
What is one habit that has significantly improved your jiu-jitsu game?
One habit that has improved my jiu-jitsu game. I don't really know. I mean, just showing up. You can only get better at jiu-jitsu by just coming.
Be in the room.
You can't think it.
Yeah. Dude, people ask me all the time, they're like, hey, my goal is to get my blue belt. I'm like, hey, that's a great goal, but the goal that's going to get you there is training.
That's one thing that,
like, your goal should be to train.
I'm going to say one thing about that. What bothers me so bad is the 4-stripe white belt that leaves because he didn't get his blue belt in time.
Oh, God.
Man, who can, I don't know, because I don't hear it. Like, I don't know if people ever come to you.
No one comes to me with that. They should. Like, I am the apparently the jiu-jitsu outlier. Like, if you want to know what you need to work on, you can ask me, but it better be a good question. But I'll tell you full transparency what you need to work on.
Yeah.
You have to be okay with that. That answer might be train more.
True.
Or be more consistent, or don't take a month off. Right?
Yeah.
But I hear more of that, like, through the grapevine, like, blah, blah, blah. It's gonna happen. They didn't get a stripe. And someone will tell me that. I'll be like, they can just ask me. I'll tell them why.
Yeah.
And they're like, you want that as a way to see your progress. But like, whatever. By the time you get a black belt, you're like, take it. I don't want it anymore. Like, take my belts away from me.
How about the next time someone listen, everybody just take your belt off. Like,
everybody's
got a white belt now. How about that?
It all comes with all that more stripes and more belts come with is a bigger microphone, right? More people listen to you. So your word matters a little bit more.
Okay.
Right. So a lot of responsibility comes with it, but also a huge target on your back.
Okay.
Like, right. Uh-huh. You get that blue belt. People want to kill you.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like, oh, this guy got his blue belt.
I don't know so much about blue belts. I think blue belts are kind of considered to be basically white belts that know how to tap.
Know some stuff, yeah.
No, just know how to tap.
Yeah.
but you know, it's like, I could see that with a black belt.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like a lot of people get access to black belts.
That's true. It's not as bad. I feel like it was way more when I was a purple belt. Like, you get that purple belt, people want to like kill you.
Test you.
I feel like when you get your black belt, some people want to kill you, but more people just like respectful.
Yeah.
Really respectful.
Might even roll with you softer.
Yeah, for sure.
Than somebody else.
For sure. What's one habit outside of jiu-jitsu that's improved your life?
Oh, that's improved my life. I would say talking to people that have more knowledge than me, just being a good student, mentors.
Yeah.
Seeking mentors. And if you get a hold of a mentor, you ought to know how to be a good student. Otherwise, you won't. It's a funny thing. So, like, if you know, realizing what you have in front of you. So, I would say the biggest thing would be mentors, older men specifically in my life that have done things maybe that I want to do or somewhere that maybe I want to be, or just emotionally more intelligent than me. You know,
for sure. Last one. Favorite book or podcast or source of information?
Right now I listen to a lot of Philosophize This. It's a like a philosophy podcast.
I've not listened to that one. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, check that out. I also listen to Joe Rogan as well. Not as much.
His podcasts are just so long.
Yeah, they're a long time. And then I do a lot of like YouTube stuff.
Like what on YouTube?
I'll do
educational YouTube or fun YouTube?
No, not fun YouTube. Okay. It'll be about biblical stuff. I'm big into like symbolism, cool. Stuff like that. Just
awesome,
weird
man.
Stuff.
Yeah. It's not, it's only weird if you make it weird. It's like jujitsu.
Yeah.
Outside person looking in on jujitsu, you're like, it's pretty weird. When you're doing jujitsu, it's only weird if you make it weird.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else you would like to share today with our listeners? People getting interested in jujitsu, people starting out jujitsu. Any final last words?
To all the parents that bring their kids to jujitsu, it was really scary, right? For your kid to join jujitsu, step on the mat one time.
Ooh.
Step on the mat one time, just one time. It's not jujitsu. I don't think jujitsu is just for everybody.
Yeah.
Like you need to step on the mat one time,
experience it,
try it out.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for climbing out of a tree. Giving up part of your work day to come here and join us on Inside the Wave podcast. If you guys listen, you guys like this, give us a 5-star review or whatever your podcast platform is. Like it, share it, and we love you. Thank you, guys.